You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday. We'll check in with the great Jim Jackson, Turner Sports NBA analyst. You got game two coming up tonight, but once again, no Chris Paul, no Kawhi Leonard. I think we'll see Chris Paul in this series. I don't know if we're going to see Kawhi, but no updates right now. He's in COVID protocol right now, and there have been conflicting reports on Chris Paul that asymptomatic. Another report with Yahoo Sports says that, or the Arizona Republic said that he is suffering from a fever, but out with game two coming up tonight. And Kawhi Leonard, there's no time frame given on his knee issues there. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. By the way, the meeting to decide on a 12-team playoff is expected to be voted on today. And the timing, well, it's probably not great timing because this coming off of the Supreme Court, Justice Kavanaugh basically saying to the NCAA, you're running a monopoly here, antitrust, and giving the athletes their name, image, and likeness. And it's state by state where you're going to be able to benefit off of your name, image, and likeness. And you're going to have this juxtaposed to the NCAA going, we're going to make even more billions. We got a 12-team playoff here. We'll get phone calls coming up. Update the poll results, McLovin, if you can.
Okay, as you expected it to run away, if you can make either of these happen today, pay athletes or have a 12-team playoff, which would you choose? 78% want the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, and I understand there are certain people who do care about the athletes getting paid, or they shouldn't get paid. They're getting paid with a scholarship. There are students who are on scholarship who are able to go out and make money while on scholarship, but an athlete is not allowed to, and this is going to change. Whether you like it or not, whether the NCAA likes it or not, it's happening, and it's happening a lot sooner than you think. This has been going on for quite some time, and the NCAA could have probably embraced it a little more. Well, anything would have been more than what they're doing, but can you delay it? That's what the NCAA is trying to do. Can you delay this? Can we keep the money for five more years? First of all, the NCAA is not writing checks to the student athletes. They're not. This is for, other departments in the school, other athletic programs, make sure that you keep them afloat. This is about an athlete being able to cash in on name, image, and likeness. Now, McLovin said that you can't have a shoe deal. Let's say, and I keep mentioning Spencer Rattler. He's the Oklahoma quarterback and probably one of the front runners for the Heisman Trophy. Can you, under the name, image, and likeness laws, McLovin, have a shoe deal that is different than what the school has?
Now, I remember this when NIL first came up. We had a guest who told us the shoe companies are carved out because all the rules are written in the states to protect the schools from having a conflicting sponsor. So if a school is a Nike school, you can't have your players out there wearing Adidas.
Oh, okay. We wondered if Zion Williamson was happening now, and let's say Adidas wanted to give him $1 million in his own shoe. Could they do that? Yeah, McLean.
But seeing that, a good point. Like, isn't this a pipeline where he goes to Duke and then Nike says, we'll take care of you when you get to the NBA. Or not take care of you, but we'll sign you.
Well, yeah, you have athletes who go to an Adidas school or a Nike school because you're in the feeder system when you're in high school, AAU schools, and then you get funneled into those schools. Now, the marquee players can pick and choose where they want to go. But I remember talking to Sonny Vaccaro, the man who basically created this blueprint for college basketball with these coaches, and signed Michael Jordan. He said that he knew of marquee players who didn't want to go to a school, first based off the color of the uniforms, and another star player didn't want to go to a school because they were an Adidas school and he wanted to wear Nikes. And that's the reason why this player, who is a well-known player, semi-famous player, didn't go to this school because he didn't like the shoes that they were wearing. I don't know what this means for athletes down the road. It's got to be above board. You got to pay taxes on this. Can you cap the income that you're going to make? That's what I'm curious about. More than anything, I'm curious about how much money can you make and can they cap that? Tom Brady came out and had some interesting comments. Now, we only saw the trailer for this, but he was talking. He's on. Is that HBO's? What's the name of the show?
The Shop.
The Shop, is that with LeBron?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Rich Paul.
Yeah. Okay. So Brady's on there, and there's an exchange there. I don't know the context of it, but this is when he was looking for another team when he was leaving New England. And I don't know who he's talking about, but he's reacting to a team that's going to stick with its current quarterback. And here is Brady's reaction.
One of the teams, they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that motherfucker.
Okay. Who could that be? Some good editing there. Yeah, Paulie?
So now people are going down the list of the teams, which I'm sure we're going to do right now.
Yes, because this is what nobody knew. Tom was interested in the Chicago Bears. This made news when I reported it, however long ago that was, because nobody ever had heard that Tom was interested in Chicago. But, you know, Brady was running out of options, believe it or not. Chargers, Bears, Buccaneers. I know that he was interested in the Titans because of Mike Vrabel. Now, I don't know if Mike Vrabel said, I'm sticking with Ryan Tannehill. I don't know if the Bears at the time said, we're sticking with Mitch Trubisky. Now, was this San Francisco? And they were going to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, all right. You know, gets a little juicier there. Yeah, Paul?
I'm going to poo-poo the Garoppolo one.
Poo-poo!
I don't think he would say that about Jimmy. They, at some level, were co-workers and maybe friends. And I don't think
he wanted him out of New England.
Well, yeah, except for that. Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
I'm going to poo-poo the Garoppolo.
Poo-poo. I don't know if I'm going to poo-poo the platter here. I think that, Tom is, he's so competitive. I could imagine him going, hey, I'll come here. You interested in me? No. We're going to stick with Mitchell Trubisky. You're going to stick with that? You got what? Now, what were the other scenarios? It feels like Tennessee and we're just speculating here. I don't know what happened with the Bears or any of these other teams, but I would love to hear the next clip. I'm hoping that who's ever asking the questions then followed up by saying, oh, you can't leave us hanging, Tom. Give us NFC, AFC. AFC South. How about give us a jersey number? But that was kind of spicy there for Tom. Tom's frisky, man. Get him out of New England. That dude is frisky. Yeah, getting drunk on a boat, throwing the Lombardi trophy around. I mean, you're just having fun. Social media, he's dominating. Yeah, Paul.
It's like his midlife crisis. He's airing all the grievances, going on shows.
Playoff hockey, Peacock has live coverage of Stanley Cup semifinals and final. Don't miss out. Stream every game. Go to peacocktv.com to sign up now. My Lightning last night put a beating on the Islanders. 8-0. 8-0. Yes, Paul.
How come in hockey, you never see the opposing team that gets blown out complain that the other team piled on the score? I know there's not blowouts of 8-0 in hockey very often, but anything over 5 is a blowout.
I didn't hear the Islanders after the game saying, you know, that you can't be taking shots. I mean, come on. It's a 5-0. You can't be taking shots.
Sportsmanship.
Like, yeah, it does. That doesn't happen in hockey. They're like, yeah, all right. Put a beating on us, man. We're coming back next game. They're hockey players, not babies. Yeah, McLeod.
It's like swinging 3-0, like Tatis swinging 3-0 in baseball, unwritten rules.
Because 8-0 in hockey is about 56-0 in football.
Okay, so each one's a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a touchdown.
So the Lightning, your Lightning, should have pulled their goalie for the last and just not replaced him with anybody. Last few minutes.
You can't pull the goalie and then bring another attacker.
Right, you just pull him and have him sit for a while, get some Gatorade.
But you don't hear hockey players, lamenting the fact that you did a one-timer there. You don't do that. That's the unwritten. Are there unwritten rules of hockey? Because I know there's unwritten rules of baseball. I don't know if there's unwritten rules of hockey.
I think like headshots, when people go stick to the head, that's kind of where it crosses a line.
No, they have rules for that. They're written rules.
But they're enforced by the other guys.
They have written rules for that one. Yeah, McLovin.
But there's got to be like a code, like it's go time. Like how do they know when to fight?
Yeah, that's unwritten, I guess. I think there's this premonition that you go, okay, all right, okay, ready. Okay, and the feud. Let's play the feud. Yeah, Paul.
I have a list, hockey unwritten rules. No sucker punches. The unwritten rule is when you drop the gloves, you do it head on. You don't come up from behind someone okay. and sucker punch them. It's like a drop the gloves, we're agreeing to fight now.
Okay.
When the guy hits the ice, you stop punching him. When the other, like, even if it's a good fight, once he hits the ice, usually the refs jump in.
But is there anything about piling on the points, scoring goals here, Paulie? Because what you're saying, all right, unwritten rules, but that has to do with just fighting.
Right. There is nothing about
embarrassing the opposition.
Yeah.
Okay.
The lightning rule, they call it.
Yeah. All right. Some phone calls here. We'll talk to Jim Jackson. He'll join us coming up. Zach in Iowa. Hey, Zach, what's on your mind?
Hey, fellas, how we doing? Today is my last day of working from home, so tomorrow I will actually have to sneak in the DP show a little on the side, maybe an AirPod or something, but work doesn't totally love that. Two things. First of all, Dan, you should go to marketing. Can you imagine going down to Tuscaloosa and there's a local insurance company that runs an ad of something along the lines of protect your home and auto like the boys in Crimson, and then it pans to the offensive line?
Boom.
I think that'd be hilarious.
Boom.
Second thing, I kind of like the idea of with the national, the NIL or whatever, name, image, and likeness. Do you think it could spread out the talent across the country? Not necessarily in areas like Florida where there's no state income tax, but if you could go be the third string quarterback, wait your time in Alabama, or go to a school like Houston or some other school where you can come in right away, you become the brand of the school. You can kind of think of like being here in Iowa. Brock Purdy had an opportunity to go to Bama, goes to Iowa State. Obviously, right now he can't cash in, but there'd probably be somebody to pay him a pretty buck up here. Been at the program for 3 years, coming on his fourth year.
Yeah,
I think
local celebrity
could really, yeah, you could really spread out the talent, and especially in like college basketball. You think of like a guy number 35 in the country going to Kentucky where he's going to be third, fourth option, or goes to another program and kind of, again, makes his name for himself, gets paid. We'll shut up and listen. Appreciate the time, boys.
Thank you, Zach, and good luck with your job there. Yeah, this is it feels like the Wild Wild West here of, you know, who's going to be able to allow their athletes to do this state by state. And I read down the list an hour ago of the states and when they're going to allow these athletes to be able to do this name, image, and likeness. And yeah, I could absolutely see an insurance company saying, you know what, we're here to protect you, and you just show the offensive lineman. I mean, the ideas are endless. Local restaurant, all you can eat. You got, you know, the lineman there. Because your star players, you know that they're locally going to get paid because you're going to be able to capitalize on them. Now, to what degree, I don't know. But that's what I want to know, is it going to be capped? That's what I'm really curious about. If they say, hey, you can only make $50,000, that's probably not going to change college athletics. Yeah, McLum.
It's amazing for a player like Brock Purdy, who's been playing since the 90s, to be here for this. How is that guy still in school?
That's Seton's quarterback, by the way.
Yep.
Yep. Seton had him for Heisman the last 5 years.
I think he finished like third to Manziel in the Heisman voting.
I wasn't far off.
Yeah. Let me take a break here. More phone calls coming up. We'll talk some hoops with Jim Jackson. When's he expect Chris Paul back? And what about Kawhi Leonard? How that impacts this series here. It's coming up on 16 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Rock Auto, rock on, because if you need car parts or truck parts, all that you ever need, you find it one-stop shop, and it's rockauto.com. This was a family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. First, give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, make the parts affordable, offering reliably low prices. RockAuto.com, you choose the part brands, prices, features you want anytime 24/7. RockAuto.com has a lot of parts you've probably been told dealer only are no longer available. Make sure you check here first. The parts delivered directly to your home or office, which means you don't waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in lines. Go to RockAuto.com today and make sure you tell them that we sent you. You write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you and we want to be a great partner to them. All the parts your car or truck will ever need, RockAuto.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. We're just reminiscing during the commercial break, this day in show history. We were in Milwaukee at the Brewers game and took part in the sausage races there. McLovin ended up winning. Todd finished DFL. In fact, even the broadcasters for the Brewers said this is embarrassing. But you did finish.
I did. I almost passed that, but that had to be the worst last place finish in the history of the sausage race. I can't imagine anyone did that any slower than me.
It was a lot of fun. And we got some mileage out of that. And they didn't ask us to come back. So Todd threw out the first pitch. And I said, you have to go out there with no sleeves on, show the guns, and you had a GoPro on.
I had a medium white Under Armour shirt that I had no business wearing that size, just showing off way too much waist.
Yeah, but you're man candy. I mean, that's what we were, you know, we put you out
sweaty
there.
Sweaty and chunky with my orange sneakers.
It's what the ladies wanted to
see. That's what they want.
There used to be a baseball player, Ted Klazuski, played for the Cincinnati Reds. He had cutoff sleeves. He had big guns. And played for the Cincinnati Reds. Yeah, Paul.
They allowed him to wear cutoff sleeves in the game?
Yeah, he just had it looked like a vest.
Like a vest?
Yeah.
And gun show?
Yeah, it was the gun show. Absolutely.
They should do that now. Guys would love it.
We had Rex Chapman on last hour, and I said, hey, we got Jim Jackson coming on in the final hour. He goes, yeah, I think Jim put 50 on me. So Jim was on the call for Game 7 between the Hawks and 76ers on Sunday night. And Jim joins us now. Do you remember putting 50 up on Rex Chapman, Jim?
Not quite 50, maybe 44.
So you remember exactly 44.
Well, you know what? I don't know if he was – Rex might have been on that. It was that's when they were the Washington Bullets, okay, when we were – and we played them. Actually, it's ironic. Dan, it's the night before I tore my ankle up when we went to Jersey. But I think Rex was on that Washington team when that went down a little bit. A little bit.
Was he guarding you?
Evidently not.
mean. Now, Rex said that he looked forward to facing Vinny Del Negro because he knew he'd probably have a little easier night. Who did you look forward to where you just went, oh, I got to circle that on the calendar?
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. It was during that time I had the ball so much it really didn't matter because I was always gonna have the ball. It was tough two guards at the time to play against. Rex was one of them, Mitch Richmond, Reggie Miller. Michael was out of the league right when I got in because he retired. Clyde Drexler. It never was an easy night, I would say, in the league at that time because, Dan, if you remember, centers, two guards, and probably power forwards were your meat of your team. So it was never – guarding Rex was hard because Rex ran off a lot of screens that chased him around the whole night. You know, that was extremely difficult.
How would your game be now if you were playing?
It's a great question. You know what? It'd be totally different. Alonzo Mourning, right, good friend of mine, right? He said, Jimmy, if I played in this era, I would dominate, I would do it. I said – no, you wouldn't. He said, what do you mean? I said, because not that you couldn't, you wouldn't be talented. I said, but at the age of 11 and 12, you wouldn't be posted up on the block. You'll be pick and pop, three-point shooter, handling the ball. So you'll be a totally different player. And I would be a totally different player because I was a post-up guard that stayed in the paint, mid-range. I got my three-point ball later after my injury, but I would be a totally different player just based upon how kids grew up and played the game than I was when I played.
Rex Chapman brought up the comparison to Ben Simmons, and he said Jason Kidd, because Jason, through most of his career, wasn't a good shooter, didn't want to take the shot. And Rex said that they would get mad at him and say, you got to at least take shots so we're not double team when we, you know, we come off a pick, your man is going to double team us. And, you know, I know we're all trying to be therapist here and psychiatrist with Ben Simmons. I don't know if this is a simple fix, Jim. What would you do if Ben is, if you took him under your wing?
You know, first, I mean, that's a great comparison with Jay Kidd. I didn't think about that. But the difference with Jason wasn't afraid to attack and still get to the basket, even though he struggled sometimes at the free throw line early on. Jay would never shy back away from attacking and then still making a play. Ben would not. Now, we had to implore Jason to shoot too early in his career, but that turned out to be great for him. I mean, later on. And then it's hard to get into somebody's mind. You've been around the games in professional sports enough to know that until a person wants to seek help, you can't help them, okay? If you're still telling yourself in the mirror and you look at yourself and say, I really don't need help, I can solve it, then there's nothing that advice we can do. Look, entertainer have it when they have stage fright, okay? People who are public speaking, okay? They can be great in front of a small audience, but get them into a bigger audience and more people, they don't perform as well. So it's not just a sports thing, it's a psyche thing, and until that individual says I need and will accept some kind of help, it's really nothing you can do about it.
But can you change his form? Like at this age, he's going to be 25 in a couple of weeks.
Can you? But he has good form. That's the killer part. Dan, it's not like he goes up there and he has a hitch in his shot. Okay, but he has good form. But it's like this. It's a guy that goes and puts in the work. Ben Simmons works on his game. People say, well, he should go and work, shoot all these free throws. He does that. Sam Cassell, we were going out to dinner in Philadelphia during it was game two. He's like, I can't go. I got to go to the gym with Ben at 7 o'clock at night and shoot free throw. It's not that he doesn't work on it. Not that his form is not there. It's that when he gets in the game and doesn't have immediate results, all of that goes out the window. All of that work you put in is left on the practice court. And that's the difference. Look at Markelle Fultz now. Remember the struggles Markelle Fultz had in Philadelphia? Sometimes maybe a change of zip code helps. Markelle Fultz got out of Philly, and now his game has trended upward. Mm-hmm. Mentally, he's in a better place. And I'm not blaming it all on Philly, but sometimes you need to be removed out of a situation that's not as comfortable in order for you to get out of the uncomfortable situation you're in.
Yeah, I maintain that if you do trade him, you're not going to get dollar for dollar. But
no.
But maybe he goes to a team that doesn't have the expectations the 76ers had. When Joel Embiid is out of there, Jim, Ben feels like, looks like, plays like a different player.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, totally different.
Right?
I mean, he attacks differently. I don't know, too, is if it's one of those things, Dan, where he's comfortable being Robin. You know, with Joel Embiid, the pressure is more on Embiid. But he doesn't understand the pressure is on him, too. But you made a point, and I said this, you know, before. When Embiid is out, I mean out like DNP, he's going to be out a few games. Ben's game is totally different. His mentality is totally different. So which tells us that if he's in a situation maybe in another franchise, that's maybe the mentality that he has, you know, 90-95% of the time that he's on the court.
I got more concerns with the Greek Freak than I do Ben Simmons at the line. The Greek
Why?
Freak can't pull the trigger. He shoots air balls. He doesn't have good form. That's a bigger concern, but he's a better player than Ben, and we sort of whitewash the other stuff. He's one of the best players in the game. He's shooting air balls, Jim, from the free throw line.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I'm going to say this. Karl Malone came into the league and he was like in the mid 40s, free throw shooter.
Yeah.
Ended up probably over his career in the mid 70s.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan wasn't a great free throw shooter coming into the league, but they worked on it. The thing I love about Greek is this, where you can get on him about shooting the threes, you can get on about the free throws, but at least he's up there. He doesn't leave it on the practice court like Ben does. at times he's not afraid to go and get fouled. Okay? Guys feed off of that on your team. Think about that too. There's some guys that shot air balls before that are great free throw shooters. Now, maybe not as many as Giannis has in his career, but I'm not mad at Giannis because at least Giannis has the confidence to take the shot, to get to the basket in late game situations at times, and not afraid to be at the free throw line. I think he will become a better free throw shooter, meaning, you know, low 70s. I think he will because he works at it. He believes, more importantly, Dan, he believes that he can become a better free throw shooter.
We're talking to Jim Jackson, Fox and Turner Sports NBA analyst. He was on the call game 7, Hawks and the 76ers on Sunday night. We've been talking about this name, image, and likeness for college athletes. It's happening. It's coming our way. But imagine you're going into college at Ohio State. You were a big deal. You know, you could have cashed in probably big time, right? Locally?
Yeah. You know what? And it's about time. And we got to keep in mind, too, it's not like every player benefits the same. Because it's really, you know, your most popular players are the ones going to sell a lot of jerseys. You're in a 52-man roster, 55-man roster in football. I mean, but you got to have maybe 5 or 6 guys that really benefit from it. I mean, big time benefit that the university pumps up. But still, it's something. Now, I know a lot of coaches are, you know, in between because it's a recruiting advantage in regards to some aspects. Some schools have a bigger alumni base, a bigger TV deal, a bigger this, and they're going to use that to say, well, hey, you know, if you come to our university, endorsement-wise, you're able to pick up X amount of dollars, which is true, but it's still to the benefit of the student-athlete, whether that's male or female.
Rex said that he was offered $500,000 annuity, that his they were going to put it in escrow. A school, he didn't say who it was, but he said that he was offered that through his parents. Mm-hmm. What was the biggest offer you got?
Right. Tommy's Pizza. Tommy's Pizza, bro.
Wait, you didn't get anything?
No.
You were a big deal.
No, if somebody got something, yeah, but I didn't, but we didn't play that. When I came out of my parents and the group that I was with coming out of high school, we just didn't go down that road. We never did. My father was one like this. Look, if you take something from somebody, that means you owe them something. So you think of something, Dan. I worked all the way through high school. I was a caddy. I cleaned cars. I worked at my grade school, mopping floors, waxing floors. Always had a job. When I was in college for 2 years, I worked at Dean Witter in the summer for 2 years. And I sold furniture at Value City my junior year in the summer. Can imagine me coming up saying, okay, you want to get some Scotch guard for your sofa so I can upsell you to get more money, okay? No, let me tell you a story, Dad. It was summertime in July, a tent sale outside on Morris Road. Hot as all hell get out. And I'm out there trying to sell a sofa, okay? But it's because my father, my parents taught me that it's you. You go get it. You don't have to owe anybody anything. So I feel good about myself getting that measly check that I didn't have to worry about looking over my shoulder because I didn't take anything from anybody. Now, I got some free food. You know, people would take care of me and do that kind of stuff. But as far as, like, greenbacks, nah, bro. Mm-mm.
Were you any good at selling furniture?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. It's a competitive business, bro. Because, hey, you notice, like, when people walk in the door, it's a salesperson that jumps up on you real quick.
Yeah.
That's because you got a percentage of sale. You weren't on salary, bro. You had to sell. You had to kill what you eat, okay? And man, they saw me in there. They was like, I don't care. This young kid is not taking my business away. It was tough, bro.
Yeah, but you had an advantage. You were a big deal. You were a name.
Hey, let me tell you something. The looks I got from some of those salesmen, all right? I'm telling you, bro, they were – listen, I was there temporarily. That was their livelihood.
Oh, yeah.
You think they were going to let me outshine them just because I was Jimmy Jackson? No, bro. No, it wasn't happening. It was a great experience, though.
Do you think Kawhi Leonard plays in this series?
I hope he does. But, you know, it's interesting because, I covered the Clippers all year. So they're kind of keeping quiet kind of what the extent of the injury is. And if they feel that they can get away, which you know how it is, Dan, a couple of games they can win in Phoenix. And now the home court shifts back to the Clips. They go home. Maybe they split it. Still gives Kawhi time enough to get back instead of rushing it. I mean, Paul George has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. I'm so happy for him now. The story is not written. The chapter is not closed. But all year, Dan, I've been saying that Paul has just been focused. He hasn't said a lot. He's letting his game do his talking. And right now he's stepping up big time, man.
Yeah, I don't know if Kawhi plays.
I know.
I really don't. I expect Chris Paul back, you know, probably when the series goes back to L.A. He's quarantining in Los Angeles and would probably be able to come back. But without Kawhi.
You know what's crazy, Dan? You know what's crazy is that people talk about the injuries, right? The injuries, we were doing a thing on it that the number of injuries are not that much higher or lower than the normal year.
It's just marquee names.
It's just the marquee names right now that's drawing all the attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's tough for the league, too, because you want your guys, your key guys playing at the end of the year, and injuries are all a part of it. But it's just unfortunate that we had the rash of marquee injuries in the playoffs to Anthony Davis, to Murray's, you know, now to Kawhi, you know, stuff like that. With Harden going out and what that Brooklyn team with Kyrie, you know, that totally changes the narrative of the playoffs, you know, and it's tough like that, man. It really is.
Have you seen somebody play better than Kevin Durant?
That's a great question. And it's because there's been some great performances. I mean, Booker's playing awesome right now, Devin Booker. But it's something different about Kevin Durant, man. You know, here's the thing I think you got to take and look at Kevin. Like Steph, okay? And this is what it's like Steph. They really don't need the ball in their hands 85% to be effective. Because you can move them around the board like a chess piece. That's why they're so difficult to guard, Dan. Because with Steph, he can give the ball up and run off 18,000 screens and get open. Same thing with KD. So that makes it more difficult for the defense to lock in. Because you're just throwing it to him in one spot or he's just bringing it up, the defense can shift and set. And that kind of can take away some things. But when you can move them around the court like that, how many players have we seen like that that have been this effective at 6'11", really 7 feet? Okay, that does that. Nobody. I mean, I was sitting there at all watching it. You know, and the question was, could he be effective enough without the other two to make his team competitive? I think he answered that question.
I don't understand. Help me understand this. This drives me crazy. When you have everybody knows Kevin Durant's getting the ball. There's 6 seconds to go, and they have PJ Tucker on him. So you don't even have somebody flash on him. You don't have, you know, Holiday has a chance to go up there. I got to get the ball out of the star's hands.
Yeah.
Like, I go back to the Utah Jazz against the Bulls and Michael Jordan. They didn't double team him.
Especially at a time, too, when three-point shot wasn't as viable. Okay. But put him in the middle of the court almost. It's a tougher double team because you got more options. So, I know, man, it is, especially with that Brooklyn team, when Kyrie and, you know, James are not there. It's like when you play against Golden State without Klay on the court, it's a lot easier to double team Steph, but yet teams didn't really do it a lot early, to get the ball out of his head.
I don't want the best player to beat me. If the third guy beats me, then I live with that. If you said Joe Harris hits a jumper and we lose, okay. All right, but I'm not letting KD hit a jumper. I'm not. Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. If a couple inches, then we're talking about, you know, the Bucks folding, probably their head coach gets fired, the Nets maybe they get healthy and they win a champion. I mean, it's that close and they almost allowed that to happen.
Yeah, I know. And you got to scratch your head sometimes. You think about it, too, is that somebody else is going to have to get the ball. It's just like, what was it, game, I don't know, was it two in Brooklyn when Milwaukee wouldn't allow KD to get the ball or Kyrie, and it was Bruce Brown who had to try to finish the shot. And somebody. So that right there in itself is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you know what it's like when they'd play a boxing one on us in high school. You know, I had
on us. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
We can speak French. Because we went through it before.
But
we understand it.
I hate it. I would yell at the defense. I'd say, you're afraid to guard me. You're afraid to go play that box in one nonsense.
So, let me ask you a question, though. When they played the box in one or triangle in two on you, you still were money, right?
No, I had to be a decoy. I had a coach who said, get the ball inside, Danny. Get the ball inside.
So you may need to revisit their coach, man. Is he still walking and breathing?
Yeah, I don't know where he is. I'm over it, Jim. I'm finally over it.
I can tell.
I'm finally.
Like your body language says it.
Man. It's like you with furniture sales. You know? You're over it, right?
Yeah, kind of. I'm still a little scarred, man. The tent sale got me. Everything else was fine.
I love it. Here's Jim Jackson saying, you want a Scotch guard, Dad?
Yeah.
Honey, it's Jim Jackson. He says he'll bring a Scotch guard this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll take care of it.
I said, you got kids, right? You never know. Spillage. you know what's spillage.
Always great to connect with you, Jim. Thank you, buddy.
Come on, man. I'm here, buddy. All right.
That's Jim Jackson, Fox and Turner Sports NBA analyst. He's the Clippers analyst, 14-year NBA vet. Take a break. Close up shop. Last call for phone calls. What we learn right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
A lot of fun today. I needed some laughs. I mentioned this last hour. I lost a really good friend. I've known him for 40 years. Passed away suddenly over the weekend, and today's his funeral. John Linda Smith, Canton, Ohio. And went to college together, the University of Dayton, and known his wife Patty and their kids. There's that guilt feeling sometimes you have not being able to be there. And I kind of wrestled with that of not coming in today and going out there. But I talked to some people who were there that I went to college with and went to the wake last night and funeral this morning. So hopefully some kind of solace there for John's family as they try to move on from this. All righty. Let's make the awkward transition back to our regularly scheduled program. This day in sports history, Paul.
I got a few odd ones. 1939, the first U.S. water ski tournament was held at Jones Beach in New York. Mm. Not know water skiing was that old. Mm. 1979, the WHA teams Edmonton Oilers, Hartford Whalers, Quebec Nordiques, Winnipeg Jets joined the NHL. Some good logos there. 1990, Blank became the first rock artist to perform at Yankee Stadium. Blank became the first, I'm going to say air quotes, rock artist to perform at Yankee Stadium.
Billy Joel.
Billy Joel is correct, 1990. Good job there. Nice one by you.
Thank you.
2003, Michelle Wie won her first USGA title at the age of 13.
Oh, my God.
Wow. And 2016, expansion team was awarded to Las Vegas in NHL. That worked out all right.
It was also on this date in sports history, John McEnroe had his famous "You cannot be serious" rant, first round win at Wimbledon. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
Okay, you can make either of these happen today. Players get paid in college or 12-team playoff. 12-team playoff, 79%.
Jeremy in Alabama has been holding. Jeremy, thanks for joining us. What's on your mind today?
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. I'm always good to talk to you and my three favorite Danettes. I wanted to tell you, I had a story about, but after hearing, coming back from commercial, man, heart goes out to you, all your friends. I know what it's like to lose a best friend like that, lose a friend. And, my heart goes out to you, man. And that's, I mean, we'll be thinking for you. And I mean, I'm going to tell my story now. But I do want to say one thing. I want Rex Chapman in a Suns jersey and a pair of khaki cargo shorts standing in the middle of Phoenix's basketball court with a microphone saying Suns in four.
I
have a good one.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. Yeah, I told Rex, where is Phoenix Suns jersey tonight? Let's see. Jonathan in Florida. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for holding. What do you have for me today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sorry for your loss. I'll try to cheer you up a little bit. Hey, regarding this baseball and the pitchers, it kind of reminds me of the movie Top Gun, where Enrique Palazzo starts searching the pitchers on the field. Do you remember that? Bert Blyleven's pitching, and he runs out to the mound, and he starts searching him, and he pulls out a jar of Vaseline. He pulls out a piece of sandpaper. He pulls out a drill. He puts it back in, and he goes back to the plate. It just kind of reminds me of that a little bit. It's kind of a joke, I think.
All right. Well, thank you, Jonathan. But that's what's happening. You know, they're going to be – it's going to be frisking, getting out there on the mound. All right, take your hat off, your glove, belt, pant. No, not your pants there. Yeah, Paul.
That was Naked Gun. That's played by Leslie Nielsen.
Yep.
And we had him on the show like a year before he passed away. I think he passed away a decade ago. We had him on 6 or 7 months right before he passed away, and he talked about that.
He would have this fart machine that he would carry around with him. And he would just, he thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And Leslie Nielsen had just this dry sense of humor. But prior to coming on the show, people would walk in and then he would hit the fart machine and he'd go, oh, it's, well, at least say, excuse me. Like, he just thought it was the funniest thing in the world that here was this grown man, established actor, and he was having the time of his life by just embarrassing people. And he had such a, you know, Police Squad was another show that he was in. Was it Police Squad that had, they only had like 6 episodes.
Yes.
But what I loved about this show was they would always have like a, and guest starring, and then the guest star would die in the opening credits. So it'd be like, whoever it is, who was Murder, She Wrote? Well, Angela Lansbury. And guest starring, Angela Lansbury. And then she would come rolling out of a car, and then you'd never see her in the episode. Peter Falk. And then, you know, he would get killed before they even started the show. I think there are only 6 episodes. It was so ahead of its time. It was wonderful. All right, let's go around the room. What we learned on this award-nominated program. Todd, I'll start with you. By the way, great job in getting Rex and Rex Chapman and Jim Jackson are just, they're wonderful guests. And I really appreciate when they share the stories. And my thanks to Jay Billis joining us as well. All right, Todd.
If Jay Billis represented the NCAA, he would have told them, leave things alone, stop being incompetent and stupid, and don't take the case to the Supreme Court.
McLovin.
Rex Chapman promised $500,000 in escrow.
Yeah. Seton?
Need to go check out Police Story.
Police Squad.
Police Squad.
Yes. Paulie?
No whining in hockey.
What We Learned brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, 5-star sales service, financial support crew. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for joining us. Our pleasure to serve you and to the family of John Linda Smith. I love you. I'm sorry I'm not there. Oh, and we close out the show with Full Sail University. You ever wanted to do this for a living? How about getting an accelerated bachelor's degree in sportscasting? Well, you can do both. I can help you get the degree. You're going to have to work on getting that job, but you'll be on your way thanks to Full Sail University, the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, and yes, your bachelor's degree is in sportscasting. Front of the camera, behind the camera, podcasting, radio, you name it. We have you covered. And there's so many great things about Full Sail and their approach to education. They combine hands-on learning, immersive projects. You have faculty with real-world experience. I think it's over 200 years of experience with all the people we have, our great faculty. And you can earn your bachelor's degree online. You can earn it in as short as 20 months. Or you can visit Full Sail's campus in Orlando, Florida, open for business there. Beautiful campus, great facilities. Learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick.